All right, hello. This is Maurice Robinson. It is October 20th, 2016. I am meeting with Mary Shearer. Mary Shearer. She is a alumnus of the Public History Program, and we are going to talk about her time, her thoughts, and experiences within the program, the USC Public History Program. All right. First of all, thank you for interviewing or being interviewed.
Sure.
What made you decide to say yes to the project? I was curious.
To come to USC?
Yes.
I was working in New Hampshire, actually. I was living in Maine and working in New Hampshire. And I'd finished an undergraduate degree in history in 91 up in Maine. And my major in history was actually ancient British history, which is not immediately useful if you're not going to go on to graduate
That's
school.
pretty cool, actually.
And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. So after finishing that, I sort of tried out some different things. I did a lot of archaeology projects and eventually landed at a museum called Strawberry Bank in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, doing interpreting, being an interpreter, giving tours, hearthside cooking. Half the time I was in costume, half the time I was just interpreting to groups and programs. I did that for a couple of years, but I realized that without the graduate degree, I was not going to be able to move into a full-time position. It was seasonal. And that's when I met my husband, John. So he was in Maine. He was working at the Old York Historical Society, kind of doing the same thing. So we met. We both, we want to do museums as a profession. We know we need a master's degree. And all the programs we looked at in New England were extremely expensive, very, very expensive. And I think UMaine didn't have one, so we didn't have any sort of in-state. There were some in New Hampshire, there were some in Massachusetts. So we were actually, he's from Columbia, and we were down here visiting his mom. And like a very good mom, she said, "Well, gee, you should really look at USC. I'm sure they have a history department." So we, to hu sort of humor her, we said, "Yeah." And we did not intend, John did not intend to move back here. I don't know what he said in his interview, but our plan was not to move to Columbia, but we were here. And so we told his mom, "Sure, we'll come. We'll just go on campus." And I think it was like spring break. I mean, there was nobody here. This is just this classic story, but
That's cool.
we walked into Gambrell, sort of walking around, and the
Wow.
one person who had her door open and was in the office was Connie Schultz. So we walked in and sort of told her who we were, and she immediately sat us down and talked to us for, I don't know, probably an hour, convincing us that we need to come to, this was the perfect fit, we need to come to the public history program. And it sounded like this was exactly what we were looking for, because the program at that point, so this was probably 90, 95, probably 1995. The way they had it structured was that incoming public history students did an assistantship, which offered you a tuition reduction, and you worked 20 hours a week in your profession. So you got to know people, you got professional experience while you were doing the degree, which sounded great. The tuition, even without the reduction, was much less than what we were looking at spending at other places in New England. And Connie was just so enthusiastic, and she talked about the Kipling program and traveling to England and doing a comparative study of public history. I mean, we were so excited, and we had no intention of being excited about this program. And by the time we had finished talking with her, we were both really excited about it. So we both applied. I think John started 6 months before I did because I wanted to finish out a program. But it just seemed to kind of match everything that we needed to get out of a degree. So we're older students at this point. We're 27, so we've been out of college for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that just segues into another question. You said you were doing technically public history before you got your degree to be a so-called public historian. Is that correct?
Yes, but I didn't really.
Did you
I
see
don't know
yourself?
that I knew that I sort of understood public history from traditional history. I didn't think of it that way,
Gotcha.
but I didn't. When I finished my undergraduate degree, I really didn't get any sort of guidance from the professors who I worked with on, other than going to, most people either went to law school or they went to graduate school in history to teach at a university. And I think they really didn't know what to do with history majors who didn't want to do that.
Wow.
And so I didn't really have any career guide. So I just kind of, like you said, kind of stumbled from one thing to another. I thought I might want to go to graduate school for archaeology and kind of just landed at that museum doing early American history and interpreting it. So yeah, so it was, John and I were lucky too in that for whatever reason, the class that we started with in fall 96, spring 97, I can't remember how big the class was, but most of us had been out of college for a while. We were older students and a lot of people had worked in parks. I was with Al Hester, who else? Ricky Good was another student, and she'd worked in an archives or a museum. So a lot of people had kind of done what we'd had and sort of loved history, tried it out in different public history fields without knowing we were doing public history, and then thought, okay, we want to do this professionally. We need more of an education and more guidance. So
that's actually something I did not anticipate asking you, was about the makeup of your cohort. But what you're saying is that when you were there in the late 90s, your typical public history student was not, for the most part, fresh out of undergrad.
I think that was just our class. And it was just kind of one of those
class,
weird things. It was true for our class, and you know, Connie or Bob could kind of verify this, because the class before us, I think, were a few years younger. I think most of them maybe came right out of undergrad.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, we landed with this group, Martha Thacker, and we'd all kind of, so we'd kind of gotten our feet wet, like I said, and then come back. So it was kind of nice, though, because we'd all hadn't done, you know, school in a while, so it was a good thing to be like, all right, I gotta, you know, write a paper again.
Pressure,
and I thought
pressure,
I was, yes,
pressure.
Yes.
No pressure.
It was a good group of friends to follow with.
That's amazing. So who did you work under? Does Dr. Schultz, the person you worked under the whole time, or who were your professors that you worked with?
No, so I probably frustrated Bob and Connie too, because I couldn't quite choose which concentrate. You know, I'd done museums, but I was really interested in preservation, and I kept going back and forth between the two. But I settled on doing preservation. So Bob was, I was under Bob, and then because I had done early American history at the museum, so my area of focus was preservation and early America. So my thesis was actually under Jessica Cross. And Bob
Weiner. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. To what extent have you maintained contact with your professors or cohort after completing the program? I was curious about your experience.
Because we stayed here, John and I both got jobs right after graduating. And again, sort of our plan was to finish the degree and go somewhere else and not stay in Columbia. But we both were very lucky and got jobs here and ended up staying. So I keep in touch with... and I work with Connie, of course, so I see Connie almost every day. I see Bob, and we keep in pretty close touch with our class.
Okay.
Most of the people from our class are still some of our closest friends. So
that's important.
So and not just that, but the people we met through, not just people we went to classes with, but people they would have come speak to our class, like people from the SHPO staff there. I later ended up working with Tracy Power, Andy Chandler, Brad Sauls, I mean, people from Carolinaiana. I ended up doing research there, so I feel like I see those people still, because I still work with them, and not just this job, but jobs that I had right after graduation.
That's amazing.
So, I think so.
Okay. Answers that. What do you do now in terms of, what is the official title of what you do now? Can you explain the project or the work you do now?
Yeah, so I am an editor with the Pinckney Statesman. We actually call our project the Pinckney Papers Project. We first published a digital edition of the papers of Eliza Lucas Pinckney and her sister, or her daughter, Harriet Pinckney Oree. And then, and this is with Connie Schultz, she's the editor. And then Connie applied for a grant to publish the papers of Eliza Lucas Pinckney's two sons and their cousin. So Thomas Pinckney, Charles Cotesworth Pinckney, and Charles Pinckney. And they were all diplomats, Revolutionary War soldiers. Thomas and Charles were both governors. So they were very involved in South Carolina and the nation in the early, in the Revolution and the early Republic. So we are finding all their papers, transcribing them, and publishing them in a digital edition through Rotunda, which is at University of Virginia Press.
Very cool. Do you see yourself using any skills? Can you elaborate for anybody who does not know what you do in terms of how you translate your publishing skills to now?
Right. So I was sort of fell into this. I didn't, I was a preservation focus with my degree.
Okay.
And started working on this project with Connie, I think it was 2008. Okay. So I hadn't done editing before, but with my focus on early America, I was familiar with the Pinckneys and Charleston from that time period. I had worked with, I'm not really sure how you sort of get this experience unless you work on a project like this with the university. I'd done a little bit with when Connie was she was creating a combined index to the Henry Lawrence papers, which no one had done, so I did some part-time work with her doing that. And then as a graduate student, I'd worked with David Chestnut, and he had started a project here when I was in graduate school called MEP, and it was Model Editions Partnership. Mm-hmm. And it was trying to create, it was sort of when a lot of these digital, these documentary editions of papers of, fill in the blank, were trying to figure out how to go digital.
Oh, okay.
And so the Model Editions Partnership was a way to try to establish good practices and standards of how to do that.
Yeah.
And I was a graduate student with a few other people from the program, and it was the work that we did as graduate students was very, it wasn't getting a broad picture of the editing, it was really kind of marking up the text for internet publication. So it was really kind of working with the code, but we got to, it was a very kind of experimental project. So Cheryl Morrison would come in, and she, I think she was in the program too, I think she was an archive student,
okay.
And she was supervising it, and one day she'd come in and say, all right, we're going to try this with this, and we're going to tag every person in, you know, this paper this way so that they'll link to an ID, which is what we do now, and we do it one way, and then it felt like the next day she'd come in, she's like, okay, yeah, that didn't work, we're going to try that. So it was, but it was very, without knowing it, and at the time when I did it, I did not think about doing this as a career, but that experience was extremely helpful to be able to do what I do now. It's not the exact same technology, but it's very similar, and it laid the groundwork for that. But before I did this job, I'm sort of a sporadic public historian. I did museums before I got here, and then when I graduated, I got a job at the State Museum. And then I worked for a preservation consulting firm. And then I ended up directing a nonprofit. And then I've kind of been all over the board. Yeah, I know. I am.
That's a good thing.
Dabble in a lot of
You're a renaissance woman of the public history program.
I wouldn't say that.
It's a good thing.
Keep shifting my
profession.
It's
a good thing. It's a good thing. What kind of classes did you take that stood out while you were a student here? Is there one or two that you just really enjoyed taking?
I can't really think of a class I didn't enjoy. The first class I took was a preservation class with Bob Wyeneth, and we had to write a National Register nomination, and that was a really good kind of just baptism in the nuts and bolts of preservation. That was excellent. I know Robin Kopp talked about the methods class, which was very challenging. But so important, especially I think for a student coming back to academia, being gone and coming back and saying, okay, you know, this is not what you did in undergrad. We're going to talk about how you really, are you going to research and clearly write as a public historian? And it's not just picking a topic you're interested in going, you need to write for a purpose and very clearly, and it needs to be without error. You'd have to, no typos, cite things consistently, cite them correctly. Here's all the sources you should look at, here's how to find them, here's how you talk to people. I mean, Robin talked about this, but they really taught us everything from how to do research to how to dress for a presentation, how to give the presentation. Yes. I mean, it was like, you're a professional now, here's how you present yourself. And it was a really good holistic class into, here's what we expect of you, and here's how you do it. I mean, Bob even talked about, this is kind of almost irrelevant now, but your mail that you got as a professional, or how you keep up with journal articles, and just kind of that basic
professional
professional advice, but also here's how you approach a research topic and then produce a paper from it that's actually new research and that is that's usable to other people.
Okay.
So that was an excellent class. Every class I took with Jessica Cross in early America was fascinating. We had great seminars. I took the seminar class we did taking that with PhD students was so good, because there was always this idea that there's public historians and there's the PhD students. And I don't know if that still kind of exists, but that was true for in some ways. But we were really close friends with a lot of PhD students, and we'd all hang out together and talk. And I didn't feel a lot of that tension, but they were doing other classes, and what they brought to the seminar was so good. And so I learned a ton from them as well.
That's perfect, because that was one of my questions to ask you, that I wanted to ask, was did you see yourself segmented by traditional history and public history? Was that a divide for you while you were a student?
I mean, it was, like in the methods class, it was all public historians. The seminars we were with, and the writing seminar and the reading seminar we were with traditional historians. And there, you know, there were certainly some PhD students, I think, who thought we weren't doing real history, or we weren't doing, because we weren't doing the PhD degree, you know, it wasn't as the work wasn't as hard, or I don't know. But I would not say that was true for most traditional historians at all. And I thought we had a really good rapport with everybody. And I learned a lot from them. I thought the professors didn't. I didn't see the professors treat us any differently at all.
That's cool.
So.
Yeah. It's your experience. It's your experience. That's great. That's great. So why did you choose a public history program versus a museum education program, archival program,
right,
et cetera? What is your opinion on that, like a specialized graduate education?
Yeah, that was really hard because I was really torn. I think being an older student, I kind of knew what the risk was. Like, I felt like I couldn't mess this up. I had to get the right program. Okay. I didn't want to start something and 2 years into it be like, oh, this is not, you know, this isn't what I wanted to do. So I was very anxious about it. I thought, I was very anxious about the emphasis this program put on taking, say, doing those seminars with graduate, with traditional history students. And I thought, do I really need to be in a preservation program that's just practical classes? And I don't know if this is the right thing. And it probably wasn't until my second semester here that I realized that this was right. And I think it was honestly the variety of experience I was getting here. I mean, I was getting, and that's another reason that it was so attractive, was that you had that 20-hour assistantship. So even if that semester you were doing a reading seminar, a writing seminar, and you felt like you were with traditional historians all the time and not getting practical experience, you were working 20 hours a week at the State Museum, at the archives. So you felt like you were making those connections, you were networking, you were on the job. That 20-hour a week assistantship was so important for me getting jobs later, just to feel engaged with the public history community in the city, which is an incredibly supportive community. That's one thing that blew me away about Columbia that I didn't see in New England. And I don't know if it's just what was going on. I mean, you know, people act differently at different times. It just depends who people are. But the group here in Columbia, I felt like it was very competitive in New England. And there was a lot of, like, if a job came open, it was extremely competitive. Here a job comes open, people call people they know and say, did you hear about this job? I mean, they may know other people applying for it, but they may, but they'll also call you and say, this job's opening up, you should apply for it, I'll give you a rep, here's somebody else you should talk to about it. It's a very friendly, very open, very just great community, supportive community. And so welcoming to students. Like, I remember one of the first conferences I went to, I worked for Roger Stroop, who at that time was the curator of history at the State Museum. And then he went on to be the director of archives and history, and he's retired now. But when I interviewed him for an assistantship there, my experience coming from my museum in New Hampshire, Strawberry Bank, that there was this huge rift between museum educators and museum curators.
Really?
And that they were sort of at opposite ends, and the educators always wanted, you know, as much to be, you know, access to the public and hands-on stuff and, you know, open more, and the curators were, you know, were very you know, let's put this barrier up. This is not touch. I mean, it was just different perspectives. So I came here and I sort of mentioned that to him, and he looked at me like you did, like, are you crazy? Like, what's going on? And then I saw him. I remember I went to a conference like that semester, and you know, it was like the morning session, and Roger Stroop was making the coffee. He was just like pouring the coffee, and that was just something I hadn't seen. The people I worked under at in previous jobs,
yeah,
do that. Say, what needs to be done? It doesn't matter that I'm the supervisor here at this level. The coffee needs to be, I'm just going to make the coffee. You know, I think Bob and Connie and I think in one of the first classes, they were Bob and Connie. They were, you know, you're adults. You're here. You're going to be our colleagues. And so, you know, everything was sort of bringing you into the community of public history and climate. And that's still true. Every job I have gotten has been through networks, through the public history program. It's been people who I knew or who knew me, yeah, for work I did for a project, or who were from this program or supervised me in an internship. And that network is crazy. It's very, very supportive. And I don't remember what your original question was. I probably like went way off.
You answered it.
Okay.
You answered it. But, you can speak however you want to speak. You're not being restrained.
I just want to answer your question, but I don't know.
You're fine. You're
went
fine.
Off track.
You were more than fine. You're good. So you also talked about networking or conferences.
Right.
Which conferences do you remember going to, or were you encouraged to go to while you were a student?
As
here?
A student, the South Carolina Historical Association, I think SCHA, they were really good with students giving,
okay,
papers. I think I did a graduate, was it the, is it the GSA, the graduates, do they still have a conference?
GSA, not that I know.
Graduate students, I feel like they
had. They might, but I don't know.
All right, I feel like they did, because I specifically remember going to Lander University with Marty, okay, Matthews and giving papers there. What else did we do? With a couple of other preservation students, I think I went with Al Hester, and I can't remember if Marta went, but there was a preservation conference we were really interested in, because it was very technical. So it was people like doing presentations on preserving brick structures in Georgia from 1740 to 1745. I mean, it was like very, very. I can't think of the exact name, but it was a fascinating conference. I think it was at Williamsburg that year. And we did a poster. I think we did a poster session. So we all
That's
got
cool.
in a car and traveled up and did that.
That's cool.
It was fun. Yeah, so that was probably, that was the biggest sort of out-of-state conference I remember going to. I don't remember at that time that we went to the big, like NCPH or AAM. We did go to SCFM, South Carolina Federation of Museums,
okay,
and they still are and were very welcoming to students. So I did that, even though preservation was my field. I go to those conferences, and mostly ones in state or regional.
Okay.
But that was, I remember we were very much encouraged to go and do that. And usually it was with a group, and you tried to do a poster session or something, a group project you try to present. And,
What was your social life like while you were in the program in Columbia? Restaurants, experience with your cohort? What was the non-academic social life things you would do?
There wasn't a lot of time, I remember, to not.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, between working and in classes. I mean, I think it was social life was pretty much with the people in the program, and you mean, like, specifically, where do we go, or what do we do?
Oh, you don't have to name the exact place, but what's the way to wind down?
Went to the Public House on Divine Street a lot.
Really?
So that was
things don't
our,
change.
That was our gathering place, mostly led by Kevin Gannon, if I remember right. and it was there was a group of us that would go, and we were there quite a bit. We worked. Just during the week, I think, because a lot of us were working jobs in those assistantships,
yeah,
and doing classes. So, you know, it wasn't a lot of going out. I don't remember going a lot during the week, but definitely probably Thursday and Friday and late. I mean, I go to bed now at like 9:30, 10, and I think we go out, you know, super late, go to the public house and hang out and go to Five Points a little bit, but it was a lot of the public house. I did not go to a lot of football games, but I'm not a big football fan. But you know, I remember it. There's much more. Actually, I think there's much more to do now in Columbia, but there was a lot of work to be done. I don't remember other than being able to go out and have a drink and kick back.
That sounds normal.
Doing much else, but it was definitely definitely with people in the history department. That was our social, group. We had Halloween parties. The Christmas parties were really fun. I remember our friends Marty and Marta would have, you know, we'd have the department Christmas party, and then there was an after party they would have at their house, and that was really a fun way to. The department parties were a good way to get to know your professors and fun, and they would come to the other parties too. That was good. We took, one year we did, with some friends, we on Christmas break we traveled, we called it the Capital Cities Tour, and we actually wanted to go to, so we had, our friend Marty was from Raleigh, and our friend Marta was from Richmond, and I'd never been to D.C., I think, at that point, so we just sort of did a road trip after Christmas, and went, and we're, you know, we're history geeks, so we went to all these history sites in every city, yeah, it was good.
That really sounds fun. On the record. That's awesome. That sounds fun.
It was a good trip. Even though we had no money at all, so we were sleeping on parents' floors and stuff like that.
Now, this is a question that you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but were you cognizant or were you aware of the gender racial makeup of your cohort at the time?
At the time, was I?
Was it all male?
No.
Not all male, but you know what I mean. Majority?
I think there were... I think I was cognizant of the fact that I saw more diversity in the public history program than in traditional history. Gender, race, background in general. We tended to come from all kinds of different experiences looking at public history. Traditional historians, I remember it definitely being more male. I do remember being conscious of that at the time.
Okay. Just if you want to answer that one,
yeah,
appreciate
that's
that.
A good question.
Appreciate that. Is there anything that you would like to say to public historians who find themselves considering careers outside the field? Sounds a little crazy, I know, but what are your two cents?
For people who've been doing public history professionally and look at other jobs outside the field?
Well, think of it like they are graduates of USC, but they're not doing... They are technically public historians, but they found themselves outside the career. What advice would you give them, or things they just say that kind of... Yeah, what is your two cents on that? In 2016, of course.
So you mean recent graduates? Like they can't... People who might struggle to find a job or just decide to switch fields?
Should they stay? Opportunities? Has the landscape changed?
I've been very lucky, so I've been able to find jobs here in public history since I graduated. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's mostly been from that network of people I worked with and knew who have helped me find sort of the next step. That said, I do know people that have gone into, say, development, grant writing. And in that sense, I think that's not a different enough career that their experience in public history didn't help them. Okay. And I think they'd probably agree with that. But, you know, you go where, you know, you feel the opportunity is. And it's so many, you know, when I was in graduate school, it's sort of a decision of what do I want to do? What am I interested in? And, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, you think, all right, how can I support my family? And, you know, what's going to work right here while I'm living here, and maybe my spouse is doing that. I've been lucky enough to be able to, you know, John and I both, to stay in public history, but I think there are certain other decisions that come into play. But I don't, I think public history is one of those degrees you can come back to as well. That if you left to do a different job, that public historians have skills, practical and managerial, that are apply to other jobs, but I think you can also move back into it. Okay. I think.
Good answer.
So if somebody left it and thought, I can't ever, you know, work in a museum or with preservation again, I can't imagine that that would be true.
Good answer. How was your time and how has your time in South Carolina informed your identity? Since you are from New England.
Well, originally. I'm actually from Indiana.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, no.
from Midwest.
I grew up in Indianapolis, and then I went to school in Maine, and I lived in Maine for a while, and then moved from Maine down here. So I still hold on to that Midwestern identity. Okay. I am not a Southerner.
For the record, what is a Hoosier?
A Hoosier's anybody from Indiana. I'm not even really sure what that means because I lived there until I was 18 and left. So people from Indiana would probably say, you are not. Because in a way, I know Columbia better than Indianapolis. Like, it's changed so much. I go back and I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. Columbia has been, I think, a really good sized city to live in. And the way that it's developed in the last 10 years has been phenomenal and made it an amazing place to be and to live. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine Columbia without the university. Mm-hmm. I think the diversity and the opportunities the university offers to people, you know, just on any given weekend, a million things.
True.
I'm not a sports fan, but I can go to the Coger Center or any kind of concert. And
it's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's to me, that makes Columbia what it is. But question. I just, because I get that pushback too, working as a, you know, as soon as I open my mouth, a lot of people from here say, you're not from here, are you? And
what does that mean, right?
Right, or, you know, they'll say, who are your people? Or, you know, so it took me a long time to get used to those questions. I still get them, you know, it's doubly hard because my husband is from here. So they're sort of like, wait, who's she? You know, and, but
that's funny.
The first job I had from finishing my degree was working for the State Museum on a grant to do research for the Heritage Corridor, which was a program to try to draw tourists away from Charleston and into the rural parts of South Carolina as an economic incentive to, you know, get them to spend money in Abbeville and Edgefield and Pickens County and so I traveled all over those areas and met people in museums and historical societies and community groups and talked with them about what's important to your community and, you know, of your history, what do you want to talk about? And that was a definite fascinating job, very interesting. The project ended up being very massive and difficult to kind of get our hands around and manage. But that process was really interesting to me to get to know the people of South Carolina. But I often got that. I mean, they kind of look at me and be like,
"Who are you?
Wait, why are you, you're not from? I can tell you're not from here. Why? How did you get this job?" And you know, so that's when I tried to sell public history. Right? I'm a public historian. I can do this. Right? I know how to do history. And they kind of go, "I don't know. Not my history." But hearing that response is important. I mean, I think we all do that. And You kind of, you know, people are like, you know, history is this very emotional, personal thing to people. Yeah. And if you're going to come in and tell someone's story, they have to trust you and they have to believe that you know what you're doing and that you're not going to misstate what they have in their mind is their history. So as a public historian, that was a very good education for me. I still miss the cold. I really like cold weather.
What aspect of cold? Are you like a ski person?
No, I don't even ski.
I just want
it to freeze, like on a regular basis. I want to put on my coat and I want to wear boots. And I know. I just really love that. And I can't. So I kind of, this is a hard time.
I love your realness.
I really do.
I really do. I love your realness.
I want the bugs to die and go away. And have
that's
like
practical.
4 months of like nothing. Just that kind of barely. I miss that.
I love your realness.
I know. It's funny. Anyway.
It's cool. I love it. I'm getting on track here. That was cool. Bugs, dead. I love it.
I know. My husband laughs at me too.
It's cool. I love it. What is your vision for the future of the public history program? What is your 2 cents? What would you like as an alumnus to see?
I want to see it continue to stay, to be strong. I want to see a lot more students than I've seen come through. I want the classes to be big and competitive. I want people to want to come here because I think, for all the reasons that I mentioned, I think this is a great place to come, wherever you're from, to come and do history. I think Columbia professionally offers a supportive environment, very diverse opportunities for people, whether it's archives or museums or preservation. There's so many things you can do in this state. So I think that the university can and should offer a strong public history program. I'd love to see it grow and strengthen.
Okay, perfect. What would you like to say or tell that I did not ask your question? What would you, anything that you've just been on the top of your head wanting to be told?
Say,
that I may have forgotten to ask?
No, I can't be, and I think I said this, I came into the program worried that I wasn't doing the right thing, but I can't emphasize enough how well-designed the program that I did, how well-designed it was, how it benefited me tremendously in finding a career, how important those assistantships were to the program, not only because of the tuition abatement, but because you were making connections professionally and getting that professional experience. It was a very, very good experience and definitely prepared me professionally as a public historian.
Okay. Well, that kind of segues into one more question.
Yes.
Are the skills you learned in the public history program, are they skills you use today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. All around.
All around, okay.
I can't think of something that I did at all. I didn't, you know, my 14-year-old son is doing geometry. Last night he was like, when am I going to, you know, how is this useful at all? When is this useful?
Yeah.
Right? So I don't ever have that moment with, I mean, I think, like I said, that methods course, the professional preparation, the doing history, the research, getting to work with the history professors, I mean, It all prepared me. Yeah.
All right.
All those skills.
Well, one last question.
Yeah.
Is make sure I ask it right. What professional advice would you give a current public history student in terms of what organizations are most helpful? What would be your way to tell them to navigate the world when they leave public history at USC? Are there certain networks they should be a part of, certain conferences they should go to that you think are important? Professional organizations, helpful?
I'm trying to think, because I was sort of a preservation student at that time. I think...
we can use even now if you want to, what you think are important.
Yeah.
Also Columbia, or what you think are...
It depends on what you want to do, but I think... the national and regional conferences are as important as the local ones, perhaps more so if you're on the job market, you know, to go to those regional conferences. And I think at the time too, I remember that concern about, all right, I may be in Columbia getting my degree, but I really want to work in Wyoming or whatever. So it's that challenge of how do I make those connections out there. But I think all the connections you make here are important as well. I mean, you'd be surprised with our... I would say stay involved with the program, stay connected. Don't, you know, even if you don't want to work in Columbia, don't cut your ties here. And because it's astounding to me the alums we have working all over. And that listserv that Bob has going of alums, you know, just reaching out to those alums and saying, is anybody working in this area I want to do, or this is what I want to do with my degree. Does anybody, you know, just make those connections with the alumni, and I think that would be a good resource. All the conferences, depends on your discipline, but that's certainly an important part of it. Just staying involved as much as possible with the community, whether it's, you know, house museums while you're here. If you've never worked in a house museum or museum, I think that as much as I didn't do that after I left, it was a great foundation in working with the public director directly and seeing, because sometimes you can, if you, especially if you came here right after undergrad and you do your degree, and I'm not sure exactly how the program's structured now, if you get a lot of experience on the ground doing public history, but if you haven't while you're here, do that every way that you can, and whether it's volunteering or getting a job giving tours at Historic Columbia. Okay. Because I think we're public historians because we're interested in how the public sees history and how we can make that connection for people. And so if you don't on the ground see how people, I mean, you can research for an exhibit and put it out there, and it's astounding what you hear people say staring at your panel, because it may not be what you intended at all. Or yeah. You get, you know, I would give a tour and I'd be like, I'm going to say this is so great, I'm going to interpret the heck out of this, and blah, 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 blah. And then somebody asked me a question that I'd never even thought of, and it was so interesting to them. Cool. And so I think as much as you can be with the public and engage in history that way, do that.
Okay. Perfect. Well, is there anything else that I may have missed that you... There's no limit. You're okay. Good. Well, there is, but you haven't even come close. You're fine.
All right, thank you.
But this is Maurice Robinson meeting with Mary Shearer in Gambrell Hall, October 20th, for the USC Public History Oral Alumni Program. All right. Thank you once again.
You're welcome. So now what are you going to do with all these?